Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
At least leaders of the world's two biggest economies were talking. I'm David Brancaccio. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has returned from China, claiming some progress, the inching open, she says, of lines of communication between the two countries. Speaking with Marketplace's Kai Rizdal before they left Beijing, Yellen said she heard from Chinese officials about U.S. trade actions, such as limits on the transfer of advanced computer chips.
When they see a sequence of actions, and we've taken a number of actions over time, they are concerned that cumulatively we may go beyond national security considerations.
Yellen said she told her Chinese counterparts that the U.S. will listen if there are unintended consequences from trade actions. Kai wanted to know if China reciprocated.
We have certainly agreed that we will maintain open channels of communication.
That's not a yes.
Well, It's pretty much a yes.
More in the half-hour Marketplace later today. There are new signs that growth in China is slowing. Wholesale prices plunged at an annual rate of 5.5%, the sharpest decline in more than 7 years there. That suggests sluggish demand by Chinese buyers who may be developing the mindset that they should wait before buying because things will get cheaper still, otherwise known as deflation. The oil cartel OPEC has been working to cut production, part of an effort to boost oil prices. And while prices are up over the last week, they're down around 10% since the beginning of this year. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports that some of the reasons for that can be found here in the U.S.
OPEC hasn't been able to exert more control over oil prices, partly because of competition from the U.S., says Mark Finley, fellow at Rice University's Baker Institute.
The United States, on the back of the shale revolution, has become the biggest producer of oil in the world.
Number one, bigger even than Saudi Arabia, the de facto leader of OPEC. And this year,
U.S. production has been surprisingly strong.
Up more than 9% through April compared to a year earlier, and on pace to set an annual record. And after Russia invaded Ukraine, the Biden administration released record volumes from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So there's just a lot more oil out in the world right now, says Ewan Craik, president of petroleum markets at the consultancy Argus Media.
You've got 450 thereabouts million barrels of oil that's been added to the global supply chain, which is quite a lot, actually.
And that's helped blunt the impact of OPEC's moves. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuba has been in the grip of a crippling fuel crisis. Cubans have faced really long lines for gas and widespread power blackouts. Now Cuba's leaders have turned to an enduring ally to help ease the crisis. Russia, which needs buyers for its oil, given all the sanctions it's facing for its war on Ukraine. The Russian defense minister recently called Cuba Russia's most important ally in Latin America. From Havana, the BBC's Will Grant filed this report for us.
It's been hard enough over the years for Cuban taxi driver Jorge Yoro to keep his Soviet-era Lada on the road. Spare parts are hard to find and expensive. But recently, even filling his tank turned into a days-long ordeal. Over the past month, petrol shortages in Cuba became so severe that, at their height, the queues at the petrol pumps stretched for several city blocks.
Alexis Perez Milian.
To reduce the lines, thousands of waiting customers were organized by state authorities into WhatsApp groups. Jorge is number 426 and has just been informed that it's his turn. At the petrol station, though, the tanker hasn't arrived, and no one seems to know when it's due. This system is inefficient and ineffective, says Joel Hernandez, expressing the exasperation of everyone in the queue. We're not allowed to fill an entire tank. People often miss their turns or aren't told that it's their go. It lacks proper organization and infrastructure, he adds. Driving has long been a luxury in Cuba where most can't afford or obtain a car. At the root of Cuba's problems is a potent combination of several factors: government mismanagement, the global economic downturn, and the decades-long U.S. embargo. The Cuban government also hopes Russian firms will supply around 30,000 barrels of crude oil a day to the island, which cash-strapped socialist ally Venezuela can no longer provide. But Cuba's leading independent economist, Omar Evelini, says closer Russian ties are only a short-term fix.
These aren't Soviet companies giving out government credits. They are private Russian firms who will demand a return on their investment.
But economist Omar Evelini insists Russia alone isn't the answer to Cuba's woes.
Cuba has always had another country to sponsor it, and it's been terrible as that country eventually leaves. It happened first with Spain, then the US, then the Soviet Union, then Venezuela. You can't depend on a single market. I think Cuba needs to take those resources and make its own production strategy, one in which I think the small and medium-sized private businesses, Cuban businesses, should play a key role.
That story from Will Grant in Havana. He's with our partners at the BBC. Now, do you play video games? Ever think about making those video games as a job? On the air today, a look at student game developers who took an outlaw street culture, made a game, and gave back to the community. Also, if you know someone looking for that path into video games, tell them to go to YouTube at Marketplace APM. The first of our Skin in the Game videos just got released this morning. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.